Blog Talk
Praise the Lord. Good morning to all of you. Good morning. God bless you. We are just live across the world, just trying to lead people into praising God and letting your prayers be known unto Him. He is the prayer-answering God. Thank you for being with us this morning. I am Dr. Bernard Johnson, the Chief Ambassador, and I appreciate your presence on the line. I realize we have many great people on this line, and we certainly honor you in the name of Jesus. We certainly honor all of our ambassadors and ambassadors elect, all of our bishops and superintendents and pastors, elders and friends, all of the women of God everywhere. We do honor you and thank God for you. This is a wonderful day to give praise. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. We worship you and we praise you. It's such a great honor just to come before you. We humbly bow before you and give you worship and adoration. We esteem thee and we extol thee and lift you higher than anything on this earth. We realize that you are the creator of everything, good and bad. God, you made it all for your glory. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we dare not come before you without asking you to forgive us for every thought that was not pleasing in your sight, every deed of commission and omission. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We ask you to touch people on this line who need miracles, physical miracles, and miracles in their finances, and miracles in their home, and miracles on their job, and miracles, Lord, in their family members. Just miracles. You are the miracle-working God. We appreciate you. Touch, Lord, everywhere. Lift every heavy burden. Lighten every heavy load. We bind the enemy who wants to sift people of God as wheat. But in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to deliver all of you. Deliver in the name of Jesus. God, bind the devil, we pray. Amen. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And thank you for what you're doing right now. Oh, holy God, we praise you. Holy God, we thank you. Oh, holy God, we appreciate you. Thank you for everything. The glory of God be revealed on this line. God, thank you for a phenomenal day. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to take over. And anytime you take over, oh my God, phenomenal things happen. Glory in you. Heal every sick person, I pray. Oh God, give us miracles on this line. So many like we've never seen in 2015. It is a glorious thing to see what you've done already this year. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. Now God, we bless your holy name. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. And all of you who are on the line, who have your lines open, we praise God for you. I'm going to ask you for praise reports in just a little while, if the Lord says the same. But may I speak to y'all? Are you awake? Amen. I know the people with the Holy Ghost know how to speak. And so I'm saying good morning to all of y'all. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
God
bless you and you and you. Yeah, this is Columbus Day, but I'm declaring it the Lord's Day. Amen. We praise him. We give him the glory for what he's done. Let's speak to God. Amen. He is in the room. God, good morning to you.
Good morning,
Lord. Everybody,
good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for another day, God.
Good morning, Lord.
Let's go into praise. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for making us
another day.
Quarantine, I believe, in a cave. Son of David, have mercy upon us. And Jesus spoke to them and told them to go show yourselves to the priest. Now, Jesus was healing virtue himself. He was there. He is now the anointing. And he was then. He could have healed them right on the spot. They could have been instantly healed. But for some reason, he did not do that instantly. Maybe, I believe it was their faith, and their faith needed to be built up. And they didn't get their instant healing. Because you'll notice, as you read the Word of God, when Jesus healed people, there had to be faith involved. Not only in God, but it had to be faith in the man of God. Why do you say that? Because those folks didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. It was only revealed to a few. Peter was one who said, "Thou art the Christ. I know you're the Christ." But the general consensus was he was just a man of God. And I don't mean just, but you understand what I'm saying. He was a man of God. And so he told them to go show yourselves to the priest. Now that was an indication that Jesus himself respected authority. He was the Messiah. He knew who he was. But he told them to go show yourselves to the priest. Why? He respected authority. The priest was the one who pronounced these men unclean. And Jesus knew that even if they were cleansed and healed, if they went back to their village again, without the priest pronouncing clean upon them, it would take some time before they could be totally, or they may not have been, totally received in that village because they had leprosy, which was a vicious and vile, contagious disease. It was like smallpox, worse than smallpox. It can rot your foot off. Leprosy can rot your head off. And in that village, if they let them stay there, they could have completely contaminated the whole village. And so they had to get them out of there. But Jesus told them to go show. Now, here's the rich point here, is that I did some study and found out that Jesus, when he told those lepers to go show yourself to the priest, he was 30 miles between Galilee and Jerusalem. 30 miles. That means that it must have taken them 8, maybe 10 hours to walk back. There's no indication in the text that they had any horses or donkeys or mules or anything. They had those feet and they walked it. And while they went, they were healed. Now, healing, as I said a moment ago, many times miracles happen immediately. Suddenly they can happen. But there are some miracles that take time. These men received miracles. All of them received the miracle. But it was as they went. Read the text. As they went. The 10 leper text. They were on their way into town and suddenly one of them looked at their hands and said, they saw that their hand had changed from all these lumps and bumps all over their hand. One of them looked at their foot or their feet and said, my feet! And one of them looked at the other's face and said, look at your face! They were amazed. But it happened as they went. Some miracles take time, but they are miracles. See, that's why I preach that message called Give the Anointing Time to Work. He was on that journey, doing that 30-mile journey back from Galilee to Jerusalem, taking approximately maybe 7 or 8 hours to walk that they got healed. They received the miracle, and they gave the anointing. Why did it take so long? Well, I perceive since they were not healed instantly, when Jesus was there, he looked and saw that they didn't have faith. But 30 miles would give you time to build some faith. They obeyed him, and they were walking, and they built their faith, and hope was built up. And My God, by the time they got halfway there, they were bleeding, believing God, brother. And it began to happen. And when one of them saw something happening, that built his faith, another person's faith. I tell you, it was something. But now, yesterday I spoke on this topic. Don't pick the crust off. Yesterday, don't pick the crust off. This is a message to everybody on this line. I don't care how long you've been saved. There are some atrocious that even the saints make sometimes. They're atrocious mistakes. They're not small mistakes. Mistakes, they're huge. And I've come to tell you, don't pick the crust off. What are you talking about, Dr. Johnson? Here's what I'm talking about. God showed me, as I said before, some miracles happen instantly, but others happen like this. A child is running down the sidewalk, and that child falls on the sidewalk and skins that knee to the quick. And he runs to his father or mother and says, "Daddy, Daddy, I hurt myself." And the father looks down, and that knee is bleeding, and he can even almost see the bone. And that father then takes the child in the house, if he's outside, and takes something and cleans that wound up. And then he will take something antiseptic and put it over that wound to clean it. Uh-huh. And when he gets through cleaning it up and putting the antiseptic on it, then the father will take a Band-Aid, a covering, and put it over the wound so that the child won't get stuff in it. He covers it in the wound. You've had that to happen. And then the father maybe kisses the child and says, "Baby, it's going to be all right." Or they may say, "It's all right, baby. It's all right now." And that child runs off and plays just like nothing ever happened, like it never happened before. And then perhaps before he tells them to run, or tell them it's going to be all right, he may say, "Baby, now leave this Band-Aid over there. Leave that covering over there. Leave it on there. Don't pull it off. Just leave it on there." And that child goes. And after a while, after a few days, that blood covering on that sore begins to form a crust. I think y'all know where I'm going here. It forms a crust. And that crust gets hard and turns black, mainly because there's blood over that sore. And blood, when it dries, turns dark black. Yeah, real dark, like black. And if you didn't know it was blood, a crust, forming that crust, you might think it was the disease or something, but you know it's crust, so you leave it on there. And the longer you leave that crust on there, the better it is. Why? Because even though you don't see what's going on under the crust, you leave it on there. And after a while, a few days later, that crust dries up. And after a while, you'll notice that that crust some way gets off of there, comes off of there. And when it comes off, you then realize that all the time, underneath the crust was healing virtue going on. It was healing all the time. You didn't know. You couldn't see it, but that crust was the covering that caused healing virtue, because underneath the crust, healing virtue was going on all the time. And God told me to tell the people and tell you all, this is huge, and I'm going to show you why it's huge in just a moment. He told me to tell them through this message yesterday, whatever you do, do not pick the crust off. Don't do it. Because, see, what has happened many times to you and to me, perhaps, that when we hurt our knee and skin it, and after a while the crust began to form, we got a little impatient. We didn't wait on the crust to come off by itself. So what we did, we start picking the crust off. And then we find out that when you pick the crust off, it was still sewer under there. It was still some blood under there. And what happened is that the crust had to form again. It had to form again because you picked at it too much. You picked the crust off, and it had to have a new crust to form again. And I told the people yesterday, I'm telling y'all, whatever you do, do not pick the crust off. Why? Because underneath the crust is the healing virtue that you've been looking for. And it's happening all the time. You just can't see it. Some time ago, I brought a message called Miracles Come in Right Angles. And see, there are two angles to a right angle. One is a horizontal angle, and the other is a vertical angle. And on the horizontal, which most of us are on the horizontal, the only thing you see is straight ahead. But see, the miracle may be on the vertical. And even though you're on the horizontal, you can't see the miracle because it's not on the horizontal. But it's just around the corner. Is on the vertical. And all you have to do is turn the corner and you'll be able to see that the miracle is right there. Everything you've been waiting on and waiting for is right there. You just can't see it because it's on the vertical. It's not on the horizontal. It's just around the corner. And I preached that message called Miracles Come in Right Angles. But it relates to what we're saying today because that crust, you can't see underneath the crust. And we, with our impatience, sometimes start picking at the crust to pick it off. Don't pick it off because healing virtue is happening right under the crust. Leave it alone. What are you trying to say? Many of us in the spirit realm, let me put it spiritually now, many of us come to the Lord, our Father. We hurt ourselves or we're hurting from something. We got asthma like I used to have. Or we have a carpal tunnel in your hand or foot or wherever. You got cancer all in your body. Cancer of the spine. Cancer of the bone. Cancer and so many kinds of cancer. Prostate cancer. Cervical cancer. Pancreatic cancer. All these. And you got diabetes. And perhaps or you have tuberculosis or whatever it may be. But we go running to the Father and say, Daddy, 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 I'm hurting, I'm hurting. I got this, I got that. And the Father takes and cleans up the wound. What does he use? He uses the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cleans up that wound. And then the Father, after he cleans it up, he puts a Band-Aid over it. He puts a covering over it. And what is the covering? He puts the blood of Jesus. The blood covering goes over that wound. And then the Father says, now, leave the Band-Aid. Leave the covering on there. Don't pick it off. Because he knows what's going to happen. Leave it on there. Don't pick that crust off. See, don't pick that covering off. And see, that blood of Jesus is a covering. And I told you a while ago, blood, when it dries up, it turns black. There's a crust being formed over you with cancer. There's a crust being formed over you with diabetes. There's a crust being formed over you with heart trouble. The crust, the blood of Jesus. When he died on Calvary, he died for everything you can have, even your financial crisis. There's a crust as we plead the blood of Jesus over it. And all he wants you to do, every time you look in the Word of God, he always wanted you to leave it there. See, here is a man here in Luke, the 18th chapter and the 10th verse. Here two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee reading in the dark here, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a day, twice a week. And he goes on. And then I read about a man being healed of the palsy by Jesus. And when Jesus heals him, the Pharisees tries to convince him that he shouldn't say nothing or accept this healing, because I think in the script Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And so they were talking against Jesus, telling him, who did this? He's trying to get him not to say that Jesus had healed him, because they didn't want Jesus to have the credit. But the man didn't receive it. He kept telling them, all I know is that I wasn't able to walk, or I had this palsy, and all I know is that he stretched forth his hand and healed me. So what I'm trying to tell you is that they were trying to get him, even though he was healed, to take the crust off. There, the crust, the blood of Jesus over him. Pull it off. Don't you say Jesus healed you. Don't you say Jesus touched you. Don't you do it. Take the crust off. And see, how do you take the crust off? When the man of God, see, I tell you again, that all they knew is that Jesus was a man of God. They didn't know that he was a Messiah. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Martha said, I know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You are the Christ. She revealed it. She knew it also. Listen, but when you come, if there's a man or a woman of God, when a woman of God like Ambassador Stern prays over you, and Ambassador Pfeiffer pray over you, when your chief ambassador pray over you, and we plead the blood of Jesus, the crust forms over that thing, cancer, whatever it may be. When Ambassador Hagen, Ambassador Hodges, Ambassador Stitt, when they pray over you, when Ambassador Bishop Hagen prays over you, there forms a crust. When Ambassador Lady Betty pray over you, there's a crust. When Mother Johnson prays over you, a crust, the blood of Jesus, forms there. And all you have to do is leave the crust on. Don't pull it off. And see, what the enemy does, he tries to work to get you to pull it off. What do you mean, Dr. Johnson? I'm trying to say that when we pray over you, and if you got that pain in your side, and we get through praying and it's still there, the enemy will try to use it to tell you that you didn't get healed. But you got to leave the crust on. See, when Jesus prayed over the people, the people left saying, I am healed. See, that's why it bothers me when people have been saved for years and don't have any more sense than this. You get prayed over by a man or woman of God, and you leave and talking about, oh, I believe God going to heal me. I believe he going to heal me. I'm looking for my healing. Oh, you crazy. You don't have the Holy Ghost, so what is wrong with you? Don't pick the crust off. When a man or woman of God prays over you, leave saying, I am healed. I am delivered. It did happen, because you leave the crust on there. You don't pull the crust off. Because when you start saying, well, I'm going to be healed, see, that's pulling the crust off. That's saying that you don't have no faith. And see, faith is what moves God. That's what moves God. If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, and even the mountain will move if you have the faith. See, notice that Jesus healed people who believed in him. He wanted people to believe in him. But they believed in him, the healing, the miracle happened. And see, sometimes, as I told you with the 10 lepers, it doesn't happen immediately sometimes. Many times it does, but sometimes it took that 30 miles, that 8 hours or 10 hours for that anointing to bring about that healing. It didn't. The anointing can bring it right on, but they didn't have the faith right then, you see. So it took them 8 hours as they were walking, and their faith was building. And finally that faith level got to a height where they could receive a miracle, and when they could receive a miracle, instantly it happened to them. See, but whatever you do, when the prayer of faith is prayed over you, you may have a headache. And when I get through praying, and you may not even feel no difference. It's just like salvation. Salvation doesn't go by feeling. Yeah, you don't accept Jesus by feeling, because you may feel differently the next day. Salvation is you got to accept it in your heart and know that Jesus had done it. It's like that. Healing, when you pray for and believe in God and start believing God and walk away saying, I am healed. I am delivered. No, you didn't get healed. You got that pain in your side still there. I don't care. It may still be there, but I know I'm healed. See, that causes that miracle working power to start working underneath that blood covering, the crust. That blood covering is the crust. And underneath that miracle working power is starting and is working. And before you know it, when you keep saying, I am healed, you look up and that pain is gone, because the crust, it was healing underneath the crust all the time. It was healing underneath the crust. You got to leave the crust on. Don't pick it off. Don't pick it off. Don't walk away and pop my, well, I don't know if I did get healed. You're picking the crust off. Don't let people come up to you and say, well, you got prayed for, did anything happen? Well, I don't feel no different. I don't know if it happened. No, don't pick the crust off. You get prayed for. Just walk away believing. Yes, I believe God. I know God touched me. I know God healed me. I know God gave me a miracle. I know it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. Because the man of God, representing God himself, said it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. See, you let that crust work. And it gets, that crust gets hard. It's that blood covering over it. And then after a while, you'll be able to see. See, miracles happen in the spirit realm first. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, then you begin to see the manifestation of what happened. Yeah. Yeah. You begin to see the manifestation. You can't see it sometimes with your own eyes. Now, I know somebody's new on the line, because you don't know not to bump and how to do things around the phone. Watch this. See how that is multiplied across the world? All I simply did is took something and rubbed against the phone. Don't do that, baby, because it tells us that you're new to the line and you don't know how to do that. But mute your line and press *6, and you'll be able to hear us, but we won't hear you by the phone doing what you're doing. I just want to go back and close and say there are many people on the phone today that healing by the man of God has been pronounced over you. But the enemy convinced you to look to the natural rather than the spiritual. And in the natural, you didn't have the faith. It hadn't been built up. You say, well, yes, I did have the faith. Well, it may not have been to the level to receive the miracle. And secondly, perhaps you didn't have the patience to wait on God to reveal it and the manifestation of it to come. See, it's very, very important to wait on God, because even though the miracle has taken place, you got to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. But you got to learn how to wait on the manifestation of your miracle. It's like Mother Lowe in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, I think she had a stroke, and she could only use one hand, her right hand. She couldn't lift that left hand. But the prayer of faith was prayed over her, and one day she was in prayer, just praising God, and lost consciousness and began to speak in tongues and praise God with that right hand she could lift it. And when she got through praising God, they tell me, she said that I don't even know when my other hand went up. But when I came out of praising God and opened my eyes, my other hand was up, praising the Lord. See, many times you got to give the anointing time to work and let it work. She didn't pull the crust off, even though she was afflicted, you may say, with that stroke. She just kept believing that God had healed her. And it was while she was praising God that the other hand went up and the manifestation of the healing happen. God bless you. I'm out of time today. But whatever you do, remember this. Don't pull the crust off. Don't pick the crust off. That's what I preach. Don't pick at it. I heard one lady who was supposed to be a seasoned saint, and we prayed for her. And when we prayed for her, she went away and said, "Oh, I believe God gonna heal me." Pick the crust off. She didn't get healed. "I believe God gonna heal me." See, she should have been saying, "Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. God healed me." And see, the miracle would have happened. But she went away talking about, "I'm just believing God gonna heal me." "Why, you just got healed, crazy woman." Please. You just got healed and you're gonna pick the crust off. And when she picked the crust off, she didn't receive the miracle. It was there. Amen. But she picked the crust off. We as saints of God, the power is in our tongue. See, you can pronounce like Elijah pronounced over Samaria where Ahab was. "As the Lord thy God liveth, it's not going to rain here, nor do fall here until I say so." See, and saints of God, well, wonderful. Thank God for the saints of God. But you can pronounce negative things too. You can miss your healing and pronounce not to receive your healing by your words. Watch those things. Don't pick the crust off. It's so very, very, very important. Love you. God bless you. I'm out of time here today. I do want to get a couple praise reports, and then we're going to pray for people. I may pray a general prayer today, and just ask you, whatever the Lord leads me to pray, don't pick the crust off. Leave it on there. Go away saying, "I am healed." And give God, give the anointing time to work, and see what happens. Amen. All right, anybody got a praise report? Get it ready while I'm talking right now.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Ambassador Elect Sharon Garden, area code 616. Hallelujah. God bless you, Chief Ambassador. It's been a while since you all heard my voice, but I've been here getting ready, you know, sometimes getting ready for a new job that I'm on. Hey, hallelujah. But I came this morning to repent. And to ask the Lord to forgive me for not giving the praise reports that that He's due, and to the glory and honor of Him and to the praise line. Amen. Because, you know, back when we was saying that it's my money and I want it now, amen, out of obedience and by faith, I was saying it along with everybody else. It's my money and I want it now. And one morning my husband had some things in the works, but I went to the checkbook and went to the account, and my eyes bucked open, amen, because it was more digits there than I had seen in a long, 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 long time, amen.
Oh,
so it just hit, and I was like, whoa. So I thanked the Lord for that, because I had never heard of that. It's my money, and I want it now. But hallelujah, hallelujah, by faith and by obedience, I was right there with everybody else, and the Lord came through. The Lord blessed. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for when my granddaughter, she's 3, and we was on the trail, and see this, I didn't give honor and thank the Lord at the time. So He brought it back to my remembrance. We was walking on the trail, and she was on her little tricycle bike, and she kept putting it off the trail out of disobedience. Off the trail, and of course she would take off down the hill, and the Lord showed me after the third time she did that, and I had to climb down the hill to get her the third time. The Lord showed me that she didn't have to get up. I did not have to pick her up and hand her to Deacon Darden, and you know, if she'd be okay. That did not have to happen that way. And he showed me that days later. that it was by his grace and his mercy that I was able to lift her up by her shirt, by her clothes, and hand her up to my husband. And he, and she was hollering, which you, y'all know that's a good sign if they're hollering. And so we took her on back to her mother, and, you know, but the Lord showed me that that was
right.
a spirit of arrogance, arrogance of life, that that
mm-hmm.
my baby, my grandbaby just had to be okay. So I thank the Lord for blessing her to be okay, and I give that praise report, and I ask him to forgive me, and I tell
right.
it, amen, because I don't want to be arrogant.
Now,
and
let
so
me
I,
let me help with something. I used to
yes.
be kind of a little timid to say something about this, but God told me not to be.
Yes, sir.
I'm teaching the line. I don't mean that arrogantly, but
yes, sir.
It's my time to teach. And I'm teaching the line. Now, I don't want to ask you the question, but I want to help you with this. When you saw all those figures in your bank account, you should have immediately sent 10% to this ministry. I mean, because I preach that message to you. It's my money, and I want it now. And I prayed a prayer and said, God, bless these bank accounts in the name of Jesus. And let me say something to y'all on this line here. Y'all have been pimping, and not you. I'm not talking about you, Sister Darden. But
Amen.
I'm talking, y'all have been pimping my ministry. And God said to me to tell y'all that you who have received financial blessings and you didn't remember our ministry, I will pray now. And God said, I'll hear your prayer, but I'm not going to answer your prayer concerning these folk because I'm not going to allow them to pimp your ministry any longer. I'm going to pray
Amen.
For you, but God's not going to answer my prayer for you because you pimp my ministry. And God said, I'm not going to let them do it any longer. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Many of you on this line have heard messages from me that God sent that have baffled your imagination. You never heard them in your life before. Why? Because they came from my knees. They came from my 1,000-day fast. In the name of Jesus, God told me, don't worry about convincing nobody you did that. Because he said, your record is on high. Your witness is in heaven, and your record is on high. And he recorded it. If Jabez
Thank
got
God.
Recorded in the book for just saying, Lord, bless me indeed, surely, if you fast 1,000 days, God will put it in the new book he's writing, or new books. Amen. But let me just say to you, if you won't be bound and blessed, do right with your finances because it says how your heart is. The closest thing to your heart many times is your money. And if you hold a tight fist on your money, you might get away with it right now. But God is going to get you by and by. Amen. You might have that money and do it this with and that with it. But after a while, it's going to put holes in your pocket. Amen. Because God told you to send it and to bless our ministry. And you kept us hurting while you did it and sent it here and said, did that. They ain't even prayed for you concerning that. The blessing came through the message, it's my money and I want it now. Who preached it to you? Who opened your eyes? Who did God use to elevate your faith? God used
Amen.
That to elevate your faith to a point where you received it. And you should have been faithful to send the tithe. And many of y'all have sent maybe $100 when you should have sent $1,000. Some of you have sent $50 when you should have sent $500. And I'm telling you this because I'm getting you ready. There's some inheritances that are going to come. And I'm gonna tell you this. If you don't do right by the inheritance and send this ministry 10% of it when you receive it, who preached it to you? Who got you ready for it? Who elevated your faith to the Holy Spirit to receive it, to believe that God was going to do it? They haven't heard nothing about that at your church. They didn't preach that to you at your church. And I'm a pastor myself, but I know this. They didn't preach it to you at your church. You heard it here, and God gave you the faith through this, using this ministry to elevate your mind to the point where you activated your faith, and God did it. And God cut the red tape, and it's going to come, those inheritances. But I'm going to tell you this. If you don't do right by the inheritance and pimp our ministry like that again, God's going to let the inheritance fall from your hand. He's going to take it from you. I went to see a man one day who was a multimillionaire. And this multimillionaire, I went to see, God gave me a vision to pull thousands of men together and help men to be real men, not baby